please, I can't sleep.
It's time to listen to Courtney at Last on the Ramblings of an Insomniac podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Ramblings of an Insomniac. I am Courtney. So I've been up pretty well, like about 20 hours, not 24. No, that's not even true. Let's see, I got 2.5 hours of sleep. So I have not really, I'm not functioning that well, let's put it that way. I'm on spin cycle. I am spinning. There's just a lot going on, and it's been keeping me up. I just cannot stop spinning, and I just stayed up like pacing, getting in and out of bed, in and out of bed, in and out of bed, walking around, pacing around. My head is in 100 directions, and I don't know how to just find the quiet. I don't know where my calm went. Well, I've never really been calm, but I don't know where my confidence or my peace went. I started kind of feeling a little more peaceful, a little more at ease, and then it just all got in the air when my bosses decided to spring upon us that they sold the place and how they did it. And like I said, I was just very hurt in the manner that they did it, but yet incredibly thrilled by the fact that I no longer have to deal with such a wretched human with wretched people. Narcissistic, disrespectful, condescending, just ignorant people. I don't have to deal with that anymore. Very abusive, genuinely abusive. So I don't have to deal with that, which is great. But like I said, I kind of have a lot of anxiety with the new owners, just in the sense that they're new and I want to trust them and I want to believe that they're going to do a good job, but so many things are in the air and there's some things I just want to watch for. But in the meantime, my youngest son and I are just not doing well and it's keeping me up. Our relationship has always been very strained. Pretty much since birth, I feel like he's hated me. He came out the womb crying and screaming and throwing fits and kind of hasn't stopped. And I love him so much, and I have tried and tried and tried to find different ways to connect with him, and the only time that we seem to get along is when we are working on a project that we both are passionate about. When we are both working on something that we see the same vision, we work really well together for about like a half a day or a day. And then once we finish that project, we're back at it again. And, you know, unfortunately, I allowed him to live with me for too long. And then it's like a stepbrother kind of situation where he's in a spiral because he knows that he's older and shouldn't be living with his mom. But I kind of didn't want him to leave. First, he moved in with me because of a situation beyond his control. He couldn't help it. And then I kind of coddled him too much and I enabled him way too much. And then I didn't want him to leave. I needed him to stay with me to help me with the property. I needed him to help me. It wasn't his choice to live with me. I needed him to because I really needed some help because my fiance wasn't able to be around. And so I was left with 3 acres of property and trying to take care of my ill mom and moving her and taking her to all of her appointments and going grocery shopping for her and picking up prescriptions that she needed and visiting with her when I was allowed to, which was very rarely because of COVID. So very rarely, but I had to you know, take her to her appointments and all that. Not had to. I wanted to. I needed to. And also trying to work full time, plus trying to deal with the fact that my fiance was, like I said, you know, away for something that wasn't his fault and dealing with that. And it was just a big shit show and I needed help. So I had him stay with me to kind of help me with the animals and the property. And then he kind of became codependent on me. And then he became stressed for different things going on in his life. And we just have always fought. We have always butt heads. And he says a lot of really hurtful things to people. He doesn't take accountability for things. He plays the victim and he doesn't apologize exactly like he gets that from his dad. And it's just sucky because I love him very much and I try so hard to encourage him to have confidence and faith in himself. I try so hard to encourage him to see what an incredibly intelligent person he is, how hard of a worker he can be. He is a hard worker, to you know, remind him that he has great ideas and that he is valuable. I've tried that a million times. I've tried the tough love. I've tried ignoring. I've tried, you know, the whole throwing him into the lake when he doesn't know how to swim to make him swim kind of thing. But then I turn around and I enable. And so it hasn't been a good combination. And in the meantime, I am now getting verbally abused and being used because he's feeling insecure and resentful that he's living with me. And now he's gotten to a point where it's very difficult for him to move out because of the economy. He's going to definitely have to get a roommate and or a second job. And then I reminded him, hey, welcome to life. Welcome to being an adult. I can't tell you how many times I've had to figure out transportation because my car broke down. Only I had to figure out transportation when I had two kids and was working full time. I have gone through a lot of incredibly, incredibly stressful things in my life while also working, while also going to school while I was working, while also having two kids and going through divorce and having cancer while I was working. There are many obstacles I have had to overcome. There are times I could only eat top ramen, not pay all of my bills, and I was barely functioning. I could barely get out of bed because of my stress and my health. And I had to figure out transportation when my car broke down. You know, I had to figure out how to pay my bills. I had to figure out how we were going to eat. I had to figure shit out. Only I had two kids to try to do it with. You know, there are many, many of us out there who have lived in less than desirable apartments with, you know, the shelves that were made of cinder block and a piece of wood. That was our shelf. Yeah. But he hasn't experienced that, so he's entitled. And he's become one of the Democrats that think that he's, you know, his life is hard and thinks that he, you know, deserves more than he does and thinks that he shouldn't have to work harder because, you know, he wants days off. And I'm like, oh, really? You want days off? Boo-hoo. You still need to work extra. You also want to live, right? You want to eat, right? You want to pay your bills, right? So it sounds like you need a second job. We've all been there. We've all had times where we've had to have a second job and or a roommate, or we have had to not buy fancy things to eat or not go to the coffee shop and buy that $6.50 coffee and instead be on a strict budget. I mean, God, when you're young, that's kind of the whole thing is you live in a crappy apartment with crappy furniture that you get from garage sales or from hand-me-downs or whatever. And you use like lawn chairs as your chairs. That's just what you do. I've created a monster and I don't want to throw him out on the streets. I don't want him to be homeless. But, you know, he can't be like stepbrothers. He needs to have a life. He needs to meet somebody. He needs to go out and, you know, be young. I mean, at least he's working and he does pay his own bills. I don't pay his bills. He does work. He works full time. So he's not like mooching off the system. He gets no help from the state. He pays his bills. He pays me rent. But still, it's living with me. And I, like I said, I wanted him to live with me because I really needed that help. But now it's just created all kinds of issues and our relationship is suffering. So it's keeping me up. It's really difficult to, you know, you're still a parent, obviously, to adults, but, well, you're not parenting them. You are their mom or dad, but you're not parenting them anymore. I don't know. I get deeply, deeply hurt when I feel I take my time and my energy that I don't have. I'm so exhausted all the time. I don't have free time. So when I take, you know, any amount of time out of time I could be using to maybe for 20 minutes do something of my own, and I do that over and over, and then people just continue to tell me what a piece of crap I am or don't appreciate me, you know, that kind of sucks. I feel like that's been happening a lot. And I know I'm choosing to do it. I'm choosing to help others. I'm choosing to help people who have had a reputation of not making good choices. So that's my fault. I have to take accountability for the fact that I try to help people that are kind of known for messing up. Because again, I like the underdog. I believe in the underdog. I try to believe in mankind. I try to, especially when it's your own son, that's a whole different ballgame, you know? It's not some stranger off the street. It's not some random person. It's not my friend. It's my child. But he's not a child, he's an adult. And I moved out when I turned 18 and been on my own since I was 18 and had to just make shit work no matter how uncomfortable or exhausting it was or stressful it was. I had to make things work. I was homeless for a while. My kids' dad had to take the kids for a bit because I was in the hospital with meningitis for 11 days. My bills got behind. I was in the middle of a divorce and things just, you know, I suddenly went from two incomes to one income and I was in the hospital for a while. So I got behind and I couldn't afford to live in the apartment we were both living in. It was a whole thing. So I had to sleep on a friend's couch. One time I was coming back from work and it was in the fall. And so it was really dark and pouring down rain. I had my kids in the car. And I was headed home, and for whatever reason, my steering wheel started smoking, and my steering wheel caught on fire in this old 1980s rust-colored Mustang that I had. It was like an 85 rust-colored Mustang, and this was like in 2005, maybe 2000. But yeah, it was interesting. So I had two kids in the car. My steering wheel caught on fire. It's pouring down rain. It's dark outside. And I have like 20 minutes of driving before I'm home. And I'm now on the shoulder of a highway. Thank God I lived in a small town at the time. And someone that I knew happened to be driving by. But I didn't have a car. So I had to figure out how the hell I was going to get to work. How I was going to get my kids to daycare, how I was going to get to the classes that I was taking. And I had to swallow my pride and ask for help. Again, I've never said I'm against welfare or relying on the system when you actually need it and you are working, when you're paying into the system, when you're also paying taxes and you are working, therefore paying into welfare. I have not a problem with it. I just have a problem when you're not even trying to work. You're not working at all. You're not trying to work. You have no intention in working. And your goal is to stay on welfare and keep others paying for your stuff. That I have an issue with. But it's hard because I love him more than anything in the world. He has 100 good qualities. It just sucks when you are a parent and you have a hard relationship with your own son or your own child. It's just a very difficult position to be in. It's giving me anxiety, and I am concerned for him and his health, for his mental health. My mental health isn't doing great. I don't know. So anybody out there that understands how I feel, I'm sorry if you're going through the same thing. I'm sorry if your relationship with a family member is difficult and strained. It's hard when you both feel that you're trying, and yet you still can't seem to see eye to eye and make things work. When you both feel that you're doing your best, I'm just spinning. I have honestly been up all night just pacing around, just pacing. My mind is just going. And, you know, like I said, I'm happy that I have new bosses, and it seems like they are definitely going in the right direction. But I have, you know, I can't help but to feel like so sucker punched by how it went down. I'm not getting over it because for 5 years I've tolerated so much abuse and yet been so loyal. And again, that's my fault. It's my fault. I should have quit. I stay loyal and I stay in situations that aren't good for me. And then when I finally realize how toxic they are, I do get out. I do finally leave. I have always left toxic relationships. It takes me a bit sometimes, but I do get there eventually. I do finally see the light and I finally leave the situation. But with this particular boss, it took me 5 years for some reason. It's never taken me 5 years. I just felt obligated to our customers. It was our customers that I felt obligation to. I was staying there for our customers, and I was staying there for, at the time, one of my coworkers. It was like I felt like if I left, she would be left alone with this woman. And my coworker was half my age. She was like my kids' age. So I felt protective and motherly over her. I didn't want to leave her there with who I felt was a monster. So I stayed. She didn't ask me to stay, but I felt obligated. And I felt obligated to our customers, because many of them are elderly. Many of them trust me and have told me so many times that they're so happy I was there because they trust me and they know that they can rely on me and that, you know, that I will take care of things and handle things. They like seeing the same face, and I'm the same face. And so I felt horrible leaving. So I know it's my fault. I did this to myself. I just feel protective over people, and I don't want people to feel like I felt in my life before. I have felt unprotected before. I have felt, you know, I've had a lot of instability. I have I don't like people feeling bullied or being stuck with people that are scary and make you feel unstable and unsure and scared. I've been through that my whole life. And so I felt like I needed to stay and protect people from my boss. So it's totally my fault, and I need to stop doing that at, you know, it's my own expense. It's my own, it affects me very much. But so when they were gone, I was like, thank God, such a weight off. But like I've said before, I hate that I'm like, okay, so something good happened. What is going to happen? That's what bad is going to happen now? When is the shoe going to drop? When is the shit going to hit the fan? Something good happened. That means something bad is going to happen, right? That's how my life has worked. And again, I know that's ridiculous because that's just how life is in general. Good things happen, bad things happen. It's not just me. It's everybody. Good things happen, then bad things happen. But it just seems like it happens a lot with me, and it's usually pretty bad things, not just little things. Seems like if there's something really, really good that happens, something really, really bad happens. So I'm just being weird. I'm not enjoying the moment, and I hate this. I hate that I'm not enjoying the moment. I hate that I am spiraling. I hate that I am in this panic, anxiety, manic mode. This hell loop. I hate that I don't know what to do to fix this relationship other than, you know, obviously my son needs his own place so that we can not be together all the time. We work together. We live together. Obviously, that is a very toxic combination. I know it's toxic. I know it needs to change. He knows it needs to change. He's scared. He's nervous because it's scary and nervous to live on your own for the first time. And I'm scared and nervous because I don't want him to make poor choices and do stupid shit. So then I'm absolutely freaking out because the first time my oldest son moved out was to go to college and be in a dorm. And he did all kinds of very, very, very dangerous things. He technically died of alcohol poisoning. He had to be resuscitated twice. His heart stopped twice. The odds of you being resuscitated after your heart stops once are 25%. His heart stopped twice, and they managed to resuscitate him. He was 19. So many things I dealt with my older son that have absolutely kept me in panic mode for a long time. And now he's finally settled down, and he's a father, and he's got a good job, and he's been doing well. And then I'm like, okay. And now I have my other son that I'm like, oh shit, now he's going to live on his own. And what is he going to do? Is he going to drink too much and kill himself? Only this time they won't resuscitate him. Only this time they won't be able to resuscitate him. Am I going to lose my child? These things run through my head. I'm scared shitless. And I shouldn't, because he's older. He's not 18. He's not 19. But I just think of it because that's what happened when my other son moved out. And now I'm like, oh my God. And plus he has all this anxiety and he's bipolar. And I, you know, he's also an addict. And then I'm like, so what is he going to do? And then we had this kid living with us that was needing a lot of attention and making poor choices. And we thought we could save him. And he created so much panic and so much anxiety and was always doing things that caused a lot of trauma in my life. So I've just always been on panic trauma mode and always looking around like I'm in a battlefield going, Charlie, Charlie, Charlie's around. Charlie's all around. And now I just can't stop. And today's my day off and I need to just relax. And I don't know how to relax. I hate this. I hate this. If any of you are suffering what I'm suffering through, I'm so sorry. It just sucks. It's not a way to live. Living in constant panic is not fun. So to anybody out there that's stressing out and is spiraling or manic, just take a breath. That's what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to try to take a breath and reassess, control what I can. What can I control? I cannot worry about what someone else might do, what someone else might think or might say, what trouble someone might get into. if this will happen, if that will happen. I live my life that way, and it is making me wrinkled and have heart palpitations. I need to focus on what I can control and what I can control today. Today, right now, this hour, this minute. Maybe I need to go minute by minute. Maybe I need to go hour by hour, maybe day by day. But I do need to stop and take a breath and really focus on what I can control. And I have a tattoo on my wrist that says let go, not let it go like Frozen, let go. I got it before Frozen came out, and that was tattooed on my wrist so I could look at it every time I started panicking and saying, okay, let go of the things I cannot control. So if you are spiraling, if you are manic, if you are anxiety ridden, let's take a breath together. Let's reassess. Let's go minute by minute if we have to. Oh, thanks for putting up with me, you guys. Thanks for coming along on my anxiety-ridden journey. I really hope that I'm helping someone, at least just one person. If you're feeling how I feel, maybe hearing that someone else feels the same way might have some kind of, you know, maybe it might make you feel better. I hope it does. So thank you again for listening to the Ramblings of an Insomniac. I hope you have a peaceful day. I hope you have a calm day. I hope your mind is calm. I hope you can find your inner strength if you need it. I hope you find your confidence if you need it, your motivation. Thank you so much for listening. Till next time.